It is time for our good friend from the Lakeville Journal to join us. And she's back after her brief retirement and days in the studio.
Retirement or absence? Okay.
Absence, that's right. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Anne, how are you? Oh, I don't hear you, Anne. Why don't I hear you?
I don't know, but it's your job.
Let's do this again. Say hello, Anne.
Oh, crikey.
Anne, are you there?
I'm saying hello.
There you go.
Hello. Hello.
Have you got me yet?
Oh, you're...
You're both there.
Cynthia?
Hi.
Hello.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Now let's see if we can hear Janet. Janet?
Good morning.
All right.
I used to drive cross country with a friend who would stop in every town, and he would go into some place, pick a place, and he'd go in and say, "Excuse me, ma'am, where can I get the best pie in town?" And that's where we'd have lunch.
Okay.
That always worked well.
And you didn't get poisoned, right?
Never.
Pisoned.
Never got poisoned.
Yeah. All right. Well, let us go to the Lakeville Journal. And it's funny, before we got on the air, I stopped in and saw Cynthia in the studio. And there's the pros and cons of being a daily radio station and a weekly newspaper,
right,
in one story. Now, the pros for the radio station, that you're there and you can report it. The negatives, it changes moment to moment, and you have to update it moment to moment.
Right.
The newspaper, the cons, especially a weekly newspaper, you've got a deadline date. You get the story out. But then you do have, once everything, all the dust is settled, you can get it absolutely right for the next time.
Yeah, we're just sitting there with our feet on the start line waiting for Monday to come, because this story is not over.
No.
But I'm happy to say that our story is slightly out of date now, which is that the birthing suites looked like they were definitely closing as of our press time. It seems now like there's some wiggle room, and there's the negotiations have taken a better coloration. It seems likely that, as Marshall and I were just discussing, that the hospital will respect its certificate of need to the state and not change anything for, we hope, 3 years. But certainly the negotiations between the local OBGYN group and Sharon and HealthQuest, the owner of Sharon Hospital, seem to have taken a step forward, and it seems likely that the maternity suites, the beautiful recently built birthing suites at Sharon Hospital, will stay open for at least
and
a while.
We were also talking, Cynthia and I, about how strong public action is on Sharon Hospital around here. Essent Healthcare and the state of Connecticut found out, I think it was 15 years ago or 16 years ago, whenever the Save the Sharon Hospital and Essent Healthcare came in. And I think that HealthQuest is finding out now that this is a very vocal and strongly committed community to its hospital.
And that they're paying attention.
Sorry,
go ahead.
All I'll say is that those people who are very vocal and pay attention also need to use the hospital for the services they use for health care if it's going to remain here, and that is just a fact of life.
And I will give Peter Cordeau kudos. He's talked to everybody. He's talked to a million politicians. He's talked to and responded to Facebook. He's talked to us. He's talked to you. He's been very accessible during this whole thing.
And always upbeat. He's really quite an extraordinary person, and I know that he would like to do what's best, and I hope he's able to do that. But also a shout-out to Brian Oler, who really was juggling a lot of balls in the air the last week trying to get everybody to talk to each other.
All right. As we move on, the picture of the bear on the front page is one of the bears that goes by my house.
But that's, I know.
That's the smaller one. Yeah, that's the smaller one.
I heard you talking about that, and I was thinking, it's good that the mother is not there, that she's twice as big, but the little bear is not going to stop coming to town as it grows to be the size of its mother.
Sooner or later, the big mother bear will come. And I'm telling you, the big bear is twice that size.
Right, and this bear is going to be twice that size eventually.
They're growing.
Yeah.
They're growing cublets that have become yearlings that are working, you know.
Yeah.
That's a great picture, though.
Yes, and actually Anne Day did not take that photo, but got it to me from Maria Schmidt, who I think lives.
Yeah, Maria took an iPhone photography class with me. This is a shameless self-promotion. And look at how far she's come. Yeah.
That really is the best bear photo
that's
ever.
That's a really good bear photo. Because I like the people who are looking at it.
That's what makes it so great.
It shows everything about a bear. It's just lumbering on its own mission.
Got a bear shadow.
And just, you know, just not going to pay attention to people around it.
But just right there next to the Salisbury Historical Association
bear
building with two older folks, 10, you know, 20 feet away.
Yeah. All right. So that treat them with respect. Cynthia's got the story. Try to keep your distance.
Yes. Do not just make a video. Get your child out of the way first.
All right. Now, look at the pictures of Lime Rock Park.
That's a great one, isn't it? I think that's Savage Freeze. And actually, the best photo of the fireworks was Ann Days on her Instagram, which really you can see the track so beautifully underneath it. But this is also a great one from Savage Freeze, who is the pastor of the East Canaan Church in North Canaan. And again, you know, it gives a nice sense of perspective where you can see the beautiful fireworks going up and the smoke and the people on the ground watching it.
All right. Right next to that, a story once again on the Cricket Valley Energy.
This is the last in our three-part series, and we tried to be as informative and data-driven as possible and just give people some of the background. And this story came out of a meeting that was held in Kent about a month ago where people expressed a lot of concern about airdrift and sort of said, oh, nobody told Connecticut about it. Nobody knew. It came up in secrecy, which, of course, you know, that generally doesn't happen. There are a lot of meetings since 2009. So we just tried to give a quick summary of what's going on, and it took us 3 weeks to do the quick summary. But, you know, boy, on a weekend like this, I got to say, pretty nice to have electricity.
It certainly is. Yeah. All right, let's go to Nature's Notebook with Tim Abbott.
Tim Abbott talking about hiking and how great it is to be able to find trails that are fairly private. Is that Darren Winston out there? Hi, Darren. How nice it is to find private trails. And, of course, this is a time of year when we love to go hiking, get a little shade up there and then in the mountains, find some running water. And I'd like to recommend a bug spray called Mighty No Bitey. Really good stuff.
All right. On the inside, you've got a story on the death of net neutrality.
Dan Pellberg, we were lucky enough to find, he kind of approached us, as many people do. We're very fortunate as the local paper to have people come to us and say that they'd like to do some writing or some photography for us. Dan is an expert in the internet and 21st century things, and is writing about business, the internet, and some of these modern tech things that are very important to us. And net neutrality is a huge, huge big deal. It's been discussed for years, and essentially what's happening is because of a new a law recently passed, it's possible that your provider or somebody such as Comcast can choose to slow down some of its competitors such as Netflix as their information is coming onto your phone, your tablet, your whatever. So this is a big deal, and we'll see how it goes.
Story I talked about the other day, it's not funny, but the guy who got in the accident and had 80 pegs of heroin with him when he was being treated at the Sharon Hospital.
Yeah, and you know, I have to say, so there was just, you know, actually Hamlet Hub, which is the little website out of Norfolk, had said, oh, you know, traffic has stopped in Norfolk, North Canaan. There's been a multi-car accident. So we went to the police station, as we always do, and we tried to get the press release, and they won't give it to us. Or they sort of said, well, you can have it, but it's going to cost you a bunch of money, and they've sort of held on to it for about 5 days, and so I'm going to try and get it again today. But something funny is going on there. I'm not sure what, but there was a car crash that seemed innocuous, and when they got the guy to the hospital, found 80 bags of heroin on his person in the hospital. So I guess he must have been passed out, and when they put him in the ambulance, otherwise one presumes he would have hit the heroin. There was also a bust in North Canaan last week with somebody of 62 bags of heroin, so I'm going to try and get the police warrant on that. But we're trying to figure out what's going on there. Something's happening.
All right, and then another bear picture, which says it all.
More bears, and Darren Winston just wandered in, and his friend Nat Benchley took this nice photo on Butter Road.
All right. On to the next page, the Hidden Valley of Vintage Wonders.
I actually wrote this story for our Discover the Canaan special section, which is out on newsstands now, and sort of does a tale of two cities, a Falls Village in North Canaan. And we had done a story on the fact that there are all these really great little vintage shops coming up in North Canaan. So it's a little summary of a few of the more visible ones, but they're all over in obscure. It's like a treasure hunt.
All right. Two stories about possible housing for Salisbury. Number one, the journey can begin now. A vote on yes to approve going ahead with the possibility of doing something in Salisbury with the Salisbury Housing Commission.
Very well attended town meeting. They had to move it to the church. They're talking about the Holly Block, which is the parking lot to the left of Dino's Pizza, I guess, is the best way to describe it. So if you're standing and facing Dino's, it's not the parking lot to the right that's all sandy. It's the parking lot to the left that's the town parking lot. And talking about building a two- or three-story affordable housing unit there. One of the big questions is, how are they going to have parking? Leslie Eckstein's excellent gym already is taking up a lot of the parking. The Black Rabbit and Mises and On the Run use up a lot of parking. So we'll just have to see how they figure that out. They're talking about possibly putting parking on the ground floor. But so this was a yes, not to building it, but to looking into some plans and designs.
To take the next step, a lease, a $1 a year lease, so you can move forward with the next steps.
Right.
And then finally, by golly, maybe there's an answer to that horrible Chinese restaurant situation. Former Chinese restaurant, where there might be an answer for that.
Which was a pharmacy for many years. And I think that people refer to it not incorrectly as a blight, which is that it's an abandoned building that no one's caring for. It's a very old building. It was built onto in a kind of a weird way. It used to be sort of a more standard colonial style house. Then they added on the front part. And Richard Gentile, I think is how you pronounce his name, had come to the town and working with Seth Churchill, who's done so much to beautify the center of Lakeville, and looking at ways that they can renovate that building and possibly turn it into apartments. And if Seth is involved, you know it's going
to
be gorgeous.
I used to always love going into that building as a kid when it was a pharmacy. Yeah. They had the neatest phone booth that when you went in the phone booth, you shut it, the fan came on, and the light went on.
Oh,
as a kid, they used to have to scream at me to get me out of there when my mouth went in there.
That's a good memory.
Did you use the phone?
All right. Let's go on to the films giving students a chance to speak out.
An excellent program from Civic Life, which is the documentary film program. There's two well-known documentary filmmakers who decided that kids should learn to have a voice, and they're teaching them to make documentary films as a way to express their opinions on on issues that matter to them. So a screening of some of those films at Housatonic Valley Regional High School.
All right, and the Great Falls Brewery has their brewing equipment now.
I know. I think everybody, all of us cynical newspaper people, are like, I don't know, we'll have to see if that place opens. But Chris Tripler is moving ahead, and it looks like, you know, I was there when all what they called the brew housing was delivered, and that's his brewmaster in the photo, Matt Bergfield. And they seem like they're really going to do it. And Matt is very knowledgeable about beer. He really knows what he's doing. Chris is a home brewer and smart enough to see that he didn't quite know how to do it. They've got the vats delivered. They've got all the piping is coming in. So they think that they'll be actually serving their own beer made on premises by August. But they will definitely be open by railroad days no matter what. They'll be giving tours. And they're making beer right now at a beer cooperative in East Haven.
All right. And we'll move over to a story by you.
With a photo by Ann Day.
Yeah.
She's everywhere. That Ann Day is
all
everywhere.
Over town.
We can't function without Ann anymore. We have to get out Lloyd's of London insurance on her.
Okay.
So what used to be the lockup restaurant, Eric McCare and Liz McCare had called me, and they have found a chef to take over the lease for that place. And I think everybody's super excited about it. Eric was outside doing paint touch-ups on the windows. And I don't think he could get more than three strokes of paint in at a time before people would stop over and say, look, what's going on? We're very excited about this. We want to be on the invite list for the opening party. So Noah Sexton is taking over. And because of some family issues right now, he's only able to be here on Saturdays. And he'll be starting in mid-July, he hopes, with a prefix menu, limited seatings, limited menu. But the first thing they're going to be doing just to start out is homemade ramen noodles, $15 a bowl, sort of along the lines of a momofuku with, you know, toppings that are locally sourced.
And Wednesday through Saturday.
Wednesday through Saturday, yep. Thank you.
All right. And the Winsted Farmers Market, you got a little story there by Shaw.
Yep, moving on to Rolly Field, and we have a lot of our beautiful farmers markets coming up. And we're working on our annual farm-to-table special issue, which will be out in August this year.
All right. Now, in our world, if you had timed it right, you could have had pictures of the Canaan concerts, the Sharon concerts,
and the
Kent concerts,
yeah,
the Northwest. It's we're very lucky around here.
All this free music. And
a
I wanted to go
page.
To there was the Joint Chiefs were on the green last night. I wanted to go to that, but ended up getting shanghaied and taken up to Mount Raga instead. But thank you for calling it the Our World page, which it is. We put our cultural events on the Our World page. So we've got the schedule for the Kent Green concerts, but there's also the Sharon concerts and the Canaan concerts. Provided by the Cranwell Club, and of course their concerts at the VFW, I believe. And then John Leland coming up at Noble Horizons talking about happiness, and you can see in the photo he's a pretty happy guy.
All right, and right below that, it's back, the Amenia Gardens Tour, the Amenia Garden Club.
That's a really good garden tour, and a lot of serious gardener ladies are organizing that and are getting you access to some pretty nifty places.
Yeah, it was gone for 2 years, but it's back, and that is something that is absolutely terrific. Now, I love mushrooms.
This is a weird, wild, wonderful story, isn't it?
But you know, if you love mushrooms, either you love mushrooms or you hate them. But mushrooms are just enchanting.
Yeah, That's literally the word. They're enchanting. And this guy named Gary Marshall has been looking for them. I think he's a friend of mine, who I think had an illness. But at any rate, he's been finding these wonderful mushrooms called chaga mushrooms, which have healing properties, and started a cool business with them. So cool. And Lubo Cherry, of course, the champion of the Declaration of Independence reading. There he is in a photo wearing his normal everyday garb, not his Ethan Allen special costume. And he is now the friendly face at the Salisbury Association, which is, of course, where the bear is. He's inside the building. The bear is outside on A1.
Well, you know, it could be Lou in a bear suit.
Yeah, he could. He's burly. Bucherry, the burly bear impersonator.
All right. Now, this is something that we're going to have to learn to read about and learn about over the next several years. This is out of Kent, though. The Board of Ed's new grading practices are a huge shift.
This is a great story, and no matter what town you live in, you need to read this story. This is why we organize our sections now, not by town, but by region, because this is affecting all six towns in our region. Elise Sadler, who is one of our reporters, is great, is also a teacher, and she sat down in a meeting where they talked about the new grading policy, which is part of the whole sort of this uproar in Region 1 about the Pam Vogel, the superintendent for Region 1 School District, some of the new practices that she's implementing. Elise has done the best job of explaining, in my opinion, what's going on. Really worthwhile and worth reading. And Kent, I would say, we keep referring to them as like the Star Wars rebel force. They are really standing up against the Region 1 School District, kind of saying like, you know what, we're going to take our time on this and try to figure it out. And so they're about to finally move in about a year later from everybody else to some of these new practices. Elise explains what's going on. Everybody should read that story.
All right, we'll go on to the opinion page. A new beginning for housing in Salisbury. We'll let Janet take over there.
Right, we're talking about that vote that happened. The story is on the front page this week. And, you know, it's the beginning of looking at options. And there will be many more meetings between now and when it goes to vote for, you know, an actual plan that has been put into place and ready to move forward. So this is a plea to everyone to be very aware of what is happening, what the process is, and to be a part of it for people in Salisbury. And kudos to people in Salisbury for passing it with such a large margin at the town meeting last week. But, you know, it's only the beginning. It's funny, I heard from a few people in town who said they were surprised there were any negative votes at all, but there were about 60. And people are skeptical still when it comes to the final projects for affordable housing, which we need so badly here. So please be aware of it in Salisbury.
Well, this all ties in, as I spoke today with and yesterday and the day before, with the birthing suites at Sharon Hospital and the schools and the taxes. I mean, if we can't bring in young families that are going to have more kids, then all this becomes in jeopardy.
Right. Everything is connected. You're right. And they are not individual causes. They're the results of what's happening here. And, I'd say people should still read that front page story about Sharon Hospital, because everything that is in there is accurate as far as what the hospital is looking at and what Peter Cordeau is looking at as far as how they can function. So, you know, do that and then keep up with it for next week. We take it step by step, and don't miss all our great letters this week and some really good columns.
I love the letter about the robocalls. My God, they're just now unbelievable.
That was a plea from the heart. They're all spoof numbers.
And they're all spoof numbers. I get numbers from people, their calls, and they're from people that I know in town, and I say, they're not calling me. This is a spoof call. And then finally, I got a couple of calls from people said, did you try to call me?
Yeah.
No.
What a science it's become. And who are these people who make it their life to do this? You know, algorithms. But
I was riding in my car the other day, and I got a call, and it was from a lady who had a foreign accent, saying she was from the IRS and that they were going to sue me and everything.
Yeah.
But so I called back the number.
And she
answered the phone. She goes, it's Marshall Miles. So I said, no, this is so-and-so from the fraud division. We just intercepted your call to Marshall Miles. And she got so upset, she swore at me.
But she also laughed. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing was just...
It's bizarre, these robocalls.
No, it's just...
Absolutely bizarre.
The thing that people need to be aware of is that they're total scams.
Total scams. And it's so sad that what the woman did was laugh about that, because it is laughable to these people who perpetrate these scams. You know, we are all their victims.
All right, but so lots of good stories spinal muscular atrophy. Five candidates don't help the Republicans. The Democrats are going to have their same problem.
In the national scene
too, pretty soon.
Right.
But so there's lots of good reading on that. Let's go on to the family and friends health watermelon. I love watermelon.
Yeah, just a quick little column from Molly Ayuti, who's one of our summer interns, and she and her sister, she has a twin sister who is an athlete and is studying nutrition, and we're looking forward to several columns from them this summer on eating.
And you've got the honor roll and everything. And the Derwin Award went to, that's a nice award.
Yeah, that's a very big award, and it went to Sarah, to Anna Kuhn, who is the daughter of Sarah Paley Kuhn.
All right, now we have 3 minutes left. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Ann.
Okay, so thank you, Marshall. I'm obsessed with soft serve ice cream. So that's our cover this week. And I didn't know what I would do for a photograph, so I decided to go over to the Caddy Shack, which has really, I mean, I don't want to judge each one from each other one, but I would say Caddyshack ranks up there in the top two of my list.
Yeah.
The other one is in Armenia and it begins with an F. Fudgies is the other good one. Anyway, so I found this little girl, and she was, her ice cream cone was melting, and her father agreed to let me photograph her, and I think she's a perfect cover girl. And I have a story about how healthy summer soft serve is for you. And if you believe that, you'll sell me Manhattan for $24. But then we have an amazing show, which is reviewed by Lynn Kircher from Sharon, about three American artists and their teachers. It's at the Norman Rockwell Museum. And what's exciting, not only about this show, it shows the illustrators N.C. Wyeth, Maxfield Parrish, and Norman Rockwell, but it also shows work of the people that influenced them, their teachers. But the most exciting thing is the famous painting, Shuffleton's Barbershop, which the Berkshire Museum just sold, much to the dismay of people who love the Berkshire Museum. But the painting has been sold, but it's on loan to the Rockwell Museum for the next several years. And you can go up and see it now. So that's kind of an exciting thing. And then we have a beautiful show at Hancock Shaker Village. I mean, I think we can all go within an hour of here and find amazing art in any direction.
That's absolutely right, any direction.
Any direction. You can go west for an hour or less than an hour. You can go north. You can go east. Any direction, you're going to find great art, and plus right here in our towns. But there's a really beautiful show at the Hancock Shaker Village, which is worth the visit just to see the Hancock Shaker Village. But there are three artists being featured there, and one of them is our own Henry Klimowitz, and he has his cardboard work inside. There's another sculptor who has work outside, and then there's Abelardo Morel, who's one of my favorites, who does these camera obscura photographs inside. How many more minutes do I have, Marshall?
About 30 seconds.
Okay, we've redesigned calendar. It's going to be much easier for everybody to read. There's more stuff in it because we've made the typeface slightly smaller, but you'll be able to see more things on our pages now. Because my calendar that I work with is about 6 pages long, and you can always see it online, but we don't always have room to put it in the actual paper. But I think we have lots of stuff in calendar right now. So that's all I have to say. Uh-huh. Thanks.
Of course, the Lakeville Journal, tricornernews.com on the web and on Facebook. And we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
All right. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio. And once again, tricornernews.com. You can get them also on demand right here at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on This Week in the Lakeville Journal.